Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Friday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Here's a big question for you. Do you believe in hell? The latest poll showed that 67% of Americans believe in heaven. They think that you go to heaven because you live a good life. 55% of U.S. adults say they believe in hell. It's a place where people go who lived bad lives. And less than 2% of U.S. adults think they're on the highway to hell. They think hell, at that great percentage, 55% or so, believe hell exists, but they don't think they're going there. I want to talk to you today, and we're going to take calls starting at about 8:30. I want to talk to you today about the reality of hell. Jesus spoke often of judgment. He spoke often of hell. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter by it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it." Well, hell is one of those subjects that so many churches avoid. I listen or go online on the X platform, and there's a platform there called Protestia. That's a group that has videos of these churches that are off the rails, that have women pastors, they call them impastors, and just their teaching is so LGBTQIA plus laden, and they're just so false. I mean, it's exactly what the Lord says in 2 Timothy chapter 4. The time will come, Timothy, when men will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desire, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. And that's what Protestia just shows, what is going on in our nation as far as the drivel coming out of so many pulpits. Well, they showed this one. It's a church, St. John's Episcopal Church in Ames, Iowa, and the rector is Thomas Early. He's the senior clergy person in charge of a parish. I had to look up what a rector was. That's not a biblical word. You're a pastor, shepherd, elder. Those are biblical words. Presbyter. But he's a rector, and he's over the parish. And this is what he had to say. This is just from a few months back.
"And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
This might be the Sunday where hell is mentioned in Episcopal churches most in years. We're not, that's not really our thing that we preach about that much. And yet here we are on a lovely Sunday at the end of September, where it is a little warmer than usual, hearing a lot about hell today.
Well, he says we don't talk about hell very much. My question would be, why? Why would you not talk about hell very much? Jesus often talked about judgment. He preached repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist, the forerunner, preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Who warned you, John the Baptist said, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Now, he was reading from Mark chapter 9. And in Mark chapter 9, Jesus said, whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a heavy millstone were hung around his neck and he had been cast into the sea. And then if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. He's speaking hyperbolic here. If it causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than having two hands go into hell, into the unquenchable fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than having your two feet be cast into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to stumble, cast it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Man, the things that the Bible tells us about this terrible, horrible place called hell should make everybody fear that place. Now, when I got saved as a 17-year-old high school senior, alone in my bedroom, after hearing a testimony from a guy who is about 10 years older than I was. He was a beer-drinking, football-playing, carousing kind of guy. That was his testimony. And then he talked about coming to faith in Christ, how the Lord worked in his life, and he found what it meant to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And, you know, I went home that night thinking about that. Now, he had asked us, I still remember this, he had asked us, there weren't a lot of people there. It was in the upper room of a friend of mine at their house in their game room. There was probably, I don't know, 20 of us there, and maybe 25. And so he said, you know, he had us bow our heads, and he said, if any of you are wanting this, this relationship with Jesus, raise your hand. Well, I raised my hand. And I remember I told my girlfriend, she was the one that brought me at the time, and she was the one that said to me, you know, I'm not going out with you unless you go to these meetings with me. And very first date, she said, are you saved? I was like, I don't know. I don't even know what that means. And so she would take me to these meetings, Young Life meetings. Well, the first one I hated, told her I wasn't going back. And she said, well, I'm done. I'm not going to date you anymore. And I said, all right, I'll go to another one, because I really liked her. And it was that second one that we went to in that game room in that nice house in Lakewood Forest, the Rogers house. Stacy Rogers was the girl. She was a year behind me in school. And it was there. And this guy, Dennis, where he shared. So I raised my hand, but I didn't understand what it meant to receive Christ. I just knew that, you know, I'm resonating with what this guy is saying. So I leave that meeting. It was on a Monday night in January. I leave that meeting. I go home. And I'm all alone in my bedroom. And that's where the Lord spoke to my heart. And I was thinking about the things that Dennis had said, and the Lord spoke to me, not into my ears, but into my heart. And he said, Jeff, he said, if you died, you would not go to heaven. You have no basis to go to heaven. And, you know, I always, from the time I was a little kid, I wanted to go to heaven. I just didn't know how to get there. And so I remember when I would wake up in the middle of the night and hear noises and things and start thinking, you know, Freddy Krueger's at my door, that kind of thing. You know, you have scary movies go into your mind and heart and you start thinking somebody's going to kill me. And I would just pray, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven as a little kid. But I didn't know how to get to heaven. And so the Lord said, you know, I was like most people. I was just trusting in myself that my by being a good person, quote unquote good person, that I would hopefully get to heaven. And the Lord said, Jeff, you have no basis to get to heaven. You're not good. You're a sinner. And so it was at that realization that I just got down on my knees. I can still remember it like it was yesterday. I got down on my knees and I just said, Jesus, save me. And I cried out to him to be saved. And I meant it. I wanted him to come into my life. I wanted him to save me. And he did, because he promises whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it was nothing that I did. It was what he did on the cross. He saved me. And he took me from the broad road, as we read in Matthew chapter 7, that leads to destruction. And he put me on the narrow road that leads to life. So that was my salvation experience. How did the light come on for me? I realized that I was on the highway to hell. You know, because churches don't like to talk about hell, because hell is not a fun thing to talk about, people don't realize the danger they're in. As John the Baptist said, who were to those religious leaders when they came to be baptized, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Everybody stands on the threshold of judgment. And hey, when you're born, guess what? You're born on the broad road that leads to destruction. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Well, he sent his Son so that you wouldn't perish. That tells me that we are all on the broad road headed for destruction. We're all on this perishing highway, so to speak, that's headed for hell. And the only way off is through Jesus Christ, is to repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's what happened for me, and that's the testimony of every true Christian. As we sing that song sometimes in church, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. That's my testimony. Is that your testimony? Hey, I believe in heaven, and I believe in hell. And heaven is not a reward for the righteous. It's a gift for the guilty. It's a gift for those who recognize there's none righteous, not even one. And that we're sinners in desperate need of a Savior, and we cry out with blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. But Jesus, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you're again from the dead. And right now, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. That's what I did as a 17-year-old high school senior. When I got on my knees, Jesus, save me. That was my prayer of surrender. And that was my prayer of faith. And repentance and faith were wrapped into that little prayer, Jesus, save me. And he did. Now, the Lord says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, on judgment day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? That means to preach in the Lord's name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The big question is, do you know the Lord? Do you have a personal relationship with him? Everyone who knows Jesus and has a personal relationship with him, that person's name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And everyone who doesn't know the Lord, you just know about him, that person is on the broad road that leads to destruction. They're on the highway to hell. And listen, God doesn't want you to go to hell. That's why he sent his Son. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the subject of hell. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
How about this? Some actual good news on the healthcare front, even as costs just keep skyrocketing. So if you're 65 or older, MediShare now offers MediShare 65 Plus. Call them. You can talk to them about this. A lot of people are taking advantage of this now because even if you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are out-of-pocket things, deductibles and copays that just keep going up. And the whole point is to help you by giving you a low, consistent monthly payment that fills in the gaps. In fact, I can tell you how much MediShare 65 Plus is. For example, it's $99 a month up to age 75. It keeps costs under control. That helps with peace of mind. MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around for 30 years, and it's a community of people who help each other. Business owners, retirees, pastors, teachers. People love being part of it. Here's the number you can call now. They are easy to talk to. Call 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE. 833-45-BIBLE.
After Jesus returns and the Battle of Armageddon is over, what will be next on God's prophetic timeline? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress shares what the Bible says about the second coming of Christ, the millennial kingdom, and the great white throne judgment. Join us for the series Perfect Ending, all this week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Wall Builders is dedicated to revealing the truth behind America's founding. Here's Tim Barton, president of Wall Builders.
Our goal here at Wall Builders is to present America's forgotten history and heroes, emphasizing the religious, moral, and constitutional heritage and foundation of our nation. Today, so few people recognize what has made this nation really the most successful, prosperous nation in the history of the world. It's a biblical foundation.
Listen to Wall Builders Live, Sunday mornings at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Hey, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International. Well, we just celebrated Easter only weeks ago, right? How many of us have drawn comfort and strength from the resurrection story in John 20, where the two Marys go to the tomb, right? And they hear that Jesus is not there. He's risen just as he said. You know, the Christians we're talking about now have never read a single verse in their own Bibles. People like Yusuf, a cobbler in Pakistan, praying for his very own Bible after being shunned by his Muslim family when he became a believer. Also, Rosalia, a former witch doctor in Paraguay in South America, she's a new believer praying for a Bible. Again, this is the spring season, and we want to bless 4,000 Bibleist believers around the world by the end of April. We're a little short of that goal, so please, at $5 a Bible, $100 since 20, $500, we'll put Bibles into the empty waiting hands of 100 waiting believers. Would you call 800-YES-WORD? 800-YES-WORD. That's 800-YES-WORD. Or give at sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the subject of hell. Not a fun subject, but a very important subject. You know, when you talk about heart disease, or you talk about cancer, or you talk about this disease or that disease, those aren't necessarily fun things to talk about, but they're important to know about for your physical health. You know, if you eat X, that's going to lead to this problem and that problem and the other problem. Well, don't you want somebody to tell you that ahead of time so that you can avoid those things? You know, I've shared before about going to the doctor, and more than anything, you want a doctor who is competent, you want a doctor who's compassionate, and you want a doctor who will tell you the truth. A doctor who does not tell you the truth is not your friend. He is not doing his job. And if you have stage one cancer and he doesn't want to tell you because he says, well, that's not going to be news you want to hear, that'll hurt your feelings, I'll just tell you you're fine. And then it goes on and goes on and goes on. And stage one that was treatable now is stage four, and it's untreatable. And that guy knew the whole time. That is evil with a capital E-V-I-L. There's a poem I heard years ago. It was in an evangelism explosion class where we were learning. This is when I was fairly young in the Lord. We were learning how to share our faith. And it's a poem you may be familiar with. It says this, "My friend, I stand in the judgment now and feel that you're to blame somehow. On earth, I walked with you day by day, and never did you point the way. You knew the Lord in truth and glory, but never did you tell the story. My knowledge then was very dim. You could have led me safe to him. Though we lived together on the earth, you never told me of the second birth. And now I stand this day condemned because you failed to mention him. You taught me many things, that's true. I called you friend and trusted you. But I learn now that it's too late. You could have kept me from this fate. We walked by day and talked by night, and yet you showed me not the light. You let me live and love and die. You knew I'd never live on high. Yes, I called you friend in life and trusted you through joy and strife. And yet, on coming to this end, I cannot now call you my friend. You know, I think it was the great pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church before Adrian Rogers, and my mind has gone blank on his name, but he said this: it is better to be called cruel and be kind than to be called kind and really be cruel. R.G. Lee, Dr. R.G. Lee said that. So, you know, you talk to somebody about hell. You're on the highway to hell. You're on the broad road that leads to destruction. Oh, people don't want to do that because that's not being very nice. You're not being very kind. You're being cruel. He said, I'd rather be called cruel for being kind than to be called kind for being cruel, for not telling somebody to flee from the wrath that is to come. Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells the story. Some say it's a true story, some say it's a parable, but it kind of starts off like a parable. Now there was a certain rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. And a certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Paint such a vivid picture, this guy that has it all, daily, habitually dressed in purple and daily living in splendor, versus the poor man, Lazarus, who's just like a human scab. He's just the worst of the worst as far as his lot in life. The dogs licking his sores. He just wants to eat the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. You couldn't get any different between these two guys in terms of their station in life on earth. And it says, now it came about that the poor man died, and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things and likewise Lazarus bad things, but now he is being comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you there's a great chasm fixed in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able to come, and that none may cross over from there to us. And the rich man said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Isn't that interesting? This guy who is now in Hades, in hell, he is asking Abraham to send somebody to talk to his brothers. And Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. Now, you know what's really interesting? So the story has to do with this rich man. Theologians call him Dives because the Latin word for rich man is Dives. So it's Dives and Lazarus. There was a Lazarus who was raised from the dead. John chapter 11, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, four-day-old dead Lazarus. The Jews, they had a belief that said that the spirit would leave the body and would hover around the body for 3 days trying to get in. But if it couldn't get in, it would leave. And so if you were dead for 4 days, you were dead and gone. There's no coming back from that. Jesus purposely stayed where he was when he heard the news that Lazarus was sick, so that Lazarus would be dead 4 days, so that the miracle would be so great and so undeniable. And he raises Lazarus from the dead. And because of that great miracle, really the greatest miracle that he ever did outside of his own resurrection, the response from the religious leaders, we have to kill Jesus. And we have to kill Lazarus. That was their response. Unbelievable. But their hearts were so hardened and so blackened. But here's the story. The emphasis is on the judgment that is to come. And for those who trust in themselves and for those who trust that they are good enough and the blessings of God in this life are obviously a sign that God is pleased with them. That's how the Pharisees thought. And it's obviously not the case. It says, now the Pharisees who were lovers of money were listening to all these things and they were scoffing at him. And Jesus said to them, you are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. You know, the vast majority of people, they are trusting in themselves to get themselves to heaven. They're trusting in their good works. That's why in that Pew Research study done, that poll done that I mentioned, 55% of U.S. adults say they believe in hell. It's a place where people who do bad things go. And 67% believe in heaven, and they believe that people that go to heaven, it's because they were good. And what we don't realize is there is none righteous, not even one. When the rich young ruler said to Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why do you call me good? There is none good except God. Now, Jesus wasn't saying he wasn't good or he wasn't God. I think he was asking the guy, do you recognize that I'm God? Is that why you're calling me good? But for us, you know, we talk about good people go to heaven. There are no good people. There's none righteous. Not you, not me, not anybody, not even one, not even you or me. And so we're all on this highway that leads to hell. And the only way off is repentance and faith, turning from sin and turning to the Savior and receiving the love of the truth so that you can be saved. Jesus died for you. He rose again from the dead for you. As Peter on the day of Pentecost preached, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. And just in case you wonder, is he calling me? Yes, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The call is to you. Did you know in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, almost the last scripture in the Bible, Revelation 22, 17, it only goes to Revelation 22, 21. Revelation 22, 17 is an invitation, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. and let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. An invitation in the last chapter of the Bible. The Lord wants you to come to Him because He's not willing, 2 Peter 2:3-9, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus died for you. And listen, hell is a terrible, horrible, awful place beyond anything your mind can comprehend. As the rich man said, I am in agony in this flame. It's the place where it's outer darkness. Jesus described it that way. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. People gnash their teeth. It's like a dog that's growling. To gnash your broko is the Greek word. It means to gnash your teeth in pain or anger. It's what they did to Stephen when he preached and he called them out. And he said, you men who are stiff-necked and always resisting the Holy Spirit. It says they covered their ears and they gnashed their teeth at him. And they ran upon him and stoned him to death. They couldn't stand it. What do you have in hell? You have people in agony in the flame in this place of outer darkness. And there is weeping there. And there is gnashing of teeth. There is anger there. There's blaspheming God there in hell. Awful, a terrible, horrible place. A place I preached on this years ago. It was one of the first sermons I ever preached. And I said, hell's a place of extreme degrees. It's a place of awful declarations. It's a place of outer darkness. It's a terrible, horrible place. It's a place with no hope. As Dante says in the Inferno, over the portals of hell are written these words, abandon all hope, ye who enter here. Abandon all hope, ye who enter here. Listen, the Lord talked a lot about hell because He doesn't want anyone to go there. And if you go to a church that doesn't talk about hell, you got to ask yourself the question, why are they not warning people to flee from the wrath that is to come? Well, we want to go to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I'd like to hear from you. And do you believe in hell? And to get us all on the same page with the Lord in Scripture, and we start warning people and telling them about Jesus who's mighty to save and letting people know, hey, you're not okay. And the direction you're traveling right now without Jesus is going to lead to destruction. And I love you too much to let you go without doing all I can do to warn you to flee from the wrath that is to come. We have Melissa on the line from Mississippi. Melissa, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. That was an amazing message. We need to hear more of that.
Thank you.
About hell. And I know it's a scary thing and you don't want to scare anybody into religion, but people need to hear the truth like you just preached it. And we don't hear it enough.
Yes.
But I want to comment on that. And then the poem that you read, can you tell me who that was by? That was amazing.
Okay. Where I pulled it up, it said it was by a person named DJ Higgins, H-I-G-G-I-N-S. It's been around for a number of decades. But yeah, if you look up, this is preachinghelp.org that says, I thought you were my friend. They have the poem.
So, and what was his first initial?
D, like Dennis, James, DJ.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you, and great message today. We needed to hear that.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that, Melissa. Well, God bless you. Well, so the number to call is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We are up against a break, but we'll be taking calls as soon as we come back. And I encourage you to call. If you have a question and comment, I'd love to hear from you. Let me just mention, too, very briefly, Activate Summit 2026. It's coming up July 16th through the 18th in Tupelo, Mississippi. I'm going to be there. And it's going to be a great, great time. Go to afa.net/summit, afa.net/summit to find out more. We'll be right back.
Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and it stressed me out. But what I thought was a solution turned out to be a problem. I kept hearing ads about debt settlement that seemed too good to be true. And actually, it was. When I called, they told me to stop paying my bills. That didn't sound right to me at all, so I hung up. Later, I found out that debt settlement is bad. Real bad. Then I learned that there is a right way to pay off your credit cards. It's called a debt management program from the great team at Trinity. Trinity had a plan. In the end, I paid off my bills, I saved thousands, and I even improved my credit score.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
My name is Heather. Please forget debt settlement and remember Trinity Debt Management.
1-800-788-1813.
Okay, here's an assignment for you, if you will. I want you to take some time and think about a getaway that gives you a chance to get together with other people of faith, deepen your walk with God, and make new friends, all while enjoying the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. I'm talking about joining AFA at the Ark, October 29th and 30th. This is a great opportunity to break away from the grind of everyday life and draw closer to God through special presentations from Patricia Engler and Brian Osborne of Answers in Genesis. It also includes entrance to the Creation Museum on Thursday and the Ark Encounter on Friday. Friday's dinner includes a panel discussion with Tony Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, and Wesley Wildman, Vice Presidents of American Family Association. This is an event that can fill up quickly, so hurry to afa.net/events to register for AFA at the Ark 2026. afa.net/events, and we'll see you at the Ark.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We asked a question this morning as we began, do you believe in a place called hell? Jesus talked about hell a lot because he knows how horrible it is. He knows it's a real place, and he doesn't want anyone to go there. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many, so that he would save us from this terrible, horrible place called hell. And in the moment we receive Jesus, as he says in John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. And we have eternal life in Jesus. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, I'd love to hear from you. And we have Fred on the line from Virginia. Fred, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. I want to just praise the Lord for you and the message that you broadcast out across the country. And
thank
how
you,
many
brother.
Times the truth of God's word speaks to my heart as it is this morning. So, question I have in relationship to hell. Definitely, hell is a place, and it's scary. And I attend a church who I would describe, we are realizing, is more of a vanilla church. And so my wife and I have been on the pursuit for the best church to worship in, and we've been exploring the Catholic past and the Catholicism past, and a big component of that is purgatory. Mm-hmm. So this is a very complicated issue, I'm sure, many layers to it, but I thought in relationship to the description of hell and then the Catholic position of purgatory, would you elaborate on that, please, when it comes to, you know, our death, for those of us that believe in Jesus, and if we have sin in our life, then we're, I guess from what I understand, going to be ending up in purgatory for, I don't know, I haven't figured out quite exactly how that works. So I'll stop there, Pastor Jeff, and if you want to let me stay on the line and respond back or just hang up, you tell me which is the best way to go, but I'd love to get your thoughts and wisdom on those topics.
Okay, I appreciate it, Fred. Yeah, you can stay on. So purgatory is not talked about in the Bible. The two places that are talked about in the Bible are heaven and hell, as far as eternities. The problem with purgatory is this. It basically says that the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross is not sufficient to forgive all your sins. Because, and I'd mentioned this, and I had a listener contact me, and she was very respectful, very kind, but she said, I don't think you expressed Catholicism very well. Well, I grew up Catholic, and so I feel like I have a fairly good handle on what they teach. But it really is, it's what Jesus did on the cross plus good works equals salvation in the Catholic equation of salvation. And the Bible's equation of salvation, it's not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. Salvation doesn't come because we do good works. It comes because we believe on Jesus. Now, when you believe on Jesus and he comes to live in your life, we're created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:10, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, as I've said many times, works are not the root of salvation. They're the fruit of salvation. They show that we belong to Jesus. If you don't have any good works, according to James chapter 2, it's a good indicator that you've never truly been saved. But we're not saved by works. We're saved by faith in Jesus. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. If you add in works to your salvation, then the big question is, well, Have I done enough? I don't know. And so this idea of purgatory came about that says, well, you still have sins, and so you have to have this time of a burning off, a purifying in this place called purgatory before you're made right, and perfect to go to heaven. Well, that is, in my mind, Fred, that is an abomination, because that's saying what Jesus did on the cross wasn't sufficient. And Jesus told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. That guy had nothing to commend himself to God other than repentance and faith. He knew that he was a sinner. He knew that he was receiving what he should have received for his sins. And then he recognized, this man has done nothing wrong. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. There was no purgatory there. And if anybody, if purgatory were a real thing, this guy especially would have to go to purgatory, because you got tons of sins on your ledger, pal. And don't you think that you can just, pray a prayer on the cross and in a few hours all that be wiped away. But the reality is, that's how a person is saved. And it's not gradual over time. It's a moment that we put our faith and trust in Jesus. Getting saved is like getting married. There has to come a point in time where you say, I do. And unless you say, I do, to the Lord, and you cry out to him, as I shared earlier, my testimony, Jesus, would you save me? And until you get to that place, and it's sincere, it's from the heart, it's repentance, you're turning to him and not trusting in yourself anymore, it's not genuine and it's not real. It's just religion. And so the Bible talks about heaven and it talks about hell. There is no other place that people are going to spend eternity. And the great white throne judgment is mentioned in Revelation chapter 20. And it says that you're going to be there. If your name was not found written in the book of life, you were thrown into the lake of fire. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, the last parable of the Olivet Discourse, he talked about, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, God didn't make hell for people. He made hell for the devil and his angels. But when we go the way of the devil and rebel against God and want to be our own boss, just as the devil wanted to be his own master, then we're going to end up where he is, and that's in the lake of fire, eternal fire. And it's terrible and horrible. So I hope that helps, Fred.
Yeah, it does. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. And at the same time, it just confirms my fact that once your time has ended, and this is what your message has been all about, that when that judgment comes, there's nobody can pray you away from it. I mean, right. When your soul is presented in front of Jesus, and it's like, hey, you know, did I hear well done, good and faithful service, or like, I never knew you? Those are two very, very frightening comments that we don't want to hear. That prayerfully we can work our salvation out in fear and trembling. So thank you for your message. Thank you. That confirmed some things. There's a lot of other things that I'm still working through, but that's the way the Holy Spirit works in our lives as we seek to be sanctified. So thank you.
Amen, Fred. And don't ever hesitate. You can always reach me, Pastor Jeff, at FromHisHeart.org. If you have a question or something, I'd love to help you with that. So God bless you, Fred. Thanks for calling in today. Well, we have Aaron on the line from Mississippi. Aaron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you, sir. I watch the show quite a bit on YouTube. My question is, how can somebody be as close to 100% certain that they're going to heaven, and how can you discern, you know, like if you're led to do something that is Jesus leading you to do it, and not get it confused, you know, with something else? And this is coming from somebody that overthinks quite a bit.
Yeah. I appreciate the question. It's a good question, Aaron. Okay, as far as knowing that you belong to Him. So this is what the scripture says. 1 John was written for this purpose. He says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, the one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the witness that God has borne concerning his Son. And the witness is this, that God has eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants us to know that we belong to Him. And Romans chapter 8 tells us this. It says that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, Romans 8:16. So when you really pray to receive Christ, it doesn't mean that you won't have times where the devil will try and make you doubt, because I think we've all experienced that. But the Holy Spirit who lives inside, He begins to change us from the inside out. How did I know I was a Christian? Because my attitude towards sin changed. All of a sudden, the things I love to do, now I knew those things are wrong. I can't do this anymore. And the Lord begins to work in our lives. One of the first things that the Lord did in my heart and in my life was, okay, Jeff, we're going to clean up your X-rated mouth. And, you know, you can't speak like that. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, Paul says in Ephesians 4:29, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that you may, how does it go? According to the need of the moment, that you may give grace to those who hear. And so so he began to work there. He began to work in my partying, taking drinking out of my life. And my attitude towards sin was different. I knew something has changed on the inside. And so that's how you know you belong to Him. And then you have a desire to be with God's people. You have a desire to talk to the Lord. You have a desire to read His Word. Those desires weren't there before. And so those are indicators that we belong to Him. And as far as, you know, when we think about, well, should I do this or should I do that? And what is God leading me to do? If it's something that goes against Scripture, I think God is leading me to divorce my wife and marry my secretary. Obviously, that's not coming from the Lord. That would be coming from the devil and from your sinful flesh. But if it's something in you know, in concert with the scripture. And then I would get, especially if it's something major, like let's say go into the ministry. Maybe God is calling me to do this. You need to get confirmation from other people, your pastor and people you trust and people further along in the Lord that can confirm that. And so, you know, in a multitude of counselors, there's victory. But the Spirit is going to bear witness with our spirit that we belong to Him. He will guide us as we yield ourselves to Him and just say, Lord, I want to do what You want me to do. So show me today. And if I'm moving in a direction that You don't want me to go, then show me this. And the Bible talks about Colossians chapter 3 about His peace guiding us, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. And so God's peace is kind of like an umpire. He's calling it fair and foul. He's calling strikes and balls. And if you're getting ready to do something that the Lord is not leading you to do, then you're going to experience a tremendous lack of peace there, because God's peace will guide you. Either He gives you peace or you don't sense peace, and then you know, I'm not supposed to do that. And so those are ways that I've found, Aaron, that really help a lot with that. So God bless you, brother. Thank you for calling in. We have Lee on the line from Texas. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, what you said, we're talking about the churches aren't put. A lot of churches are given, like the phrase said, a vanilla take on. They don't talk about hell much. If you believe in the Bible, you have to believe in hell, okay?
Right.
I also was raised Catholic, as you. I was an altar boy. I went to Catholic school, everything. Well, the Lord finally had to set me down. He put me in prison. This is the first time I ever told anybody. And I started studying the Bible. And the Catholics are where they get, I said, where do they get purgatory from? Well, they get it from a little scripture that says something about purging us from our sins. Mm-hmm. Then I thought, well, this is wrong. And then I think the Holy Spirit was working with me. Where do they get indulgences from? You know, you pay the church to pray for your individual. Yeah. She said, well, how am I supposed to know where anybody is anyway? You know, and it was all making sense. You know, I finally, just a light bulb going off. My biggest concern at that time was, what do I do with my family? Because I had a big family then. My mother was still alive. Well, because what's it going to take? And they got a lot of money. What's it going to take for them to search, you know? Well, so far they haven't. So yeah. I even have to stay away from them a lot of times, even, you know, during Christmas, Thanksgiving, things like that. Easter bunnies, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, it works on it. This is a good subject for me because I go through it day and night, you know.
Right. Yeah. Well,
I still pray for them that the Lord would change their heart. One of them.
Yes.
Know, some of them.
Yeah. I would keep praying for them for sure, that the light would come on. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, but if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the eyes, the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. So pray for them, that God would open their eyes to the truth, that they could see that they're sinners and that Jesus is the only way, the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Him. And it's not about knowing facts and figures about Him. It's about surrendering to Him, falling down and saying, my Lord and my God, as Thomas did, and receiving Christ as Savior and King. Well, thanks for listening. I'm sorry for Mary Lee and Raymond that we ran out of time. You can always reach me, Pastor Jeff, at fromhisheart.org. Go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. Have a great weekend.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.